I would normally come down and preach from there, but rarely I've actually got something written down. I've got something written down because I was reading around the gospel reading particularly, and I came across these, which are quite good actually. I think the point is that when we look at that teaching of Jesus about the two different types of people, it's very easy to think, oh well, that's it, people fall into those two categories. And we do make that mistake. Lots of people have said things like that. Somebody once said, there are only two kinds of people in this world. There are those who wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. And then there are those who wake up in the morning and say, good Lord, it's morning. I'm glad you appreciate that. I thought that was extremely funny, but never mind. There aren't just two kinds of people in the world, but we hear the saying often enough. According to the author Alan Cohen, right, he said, these two kinds of people are those who make excuses and those who get results. Yeah, I can see that as well. And just to finish off, really, with Woody Allen, and why not? He said, there are two types of people in this world, the good and the bad. The good sleep better, but the bad seem to enjoy the waking hours more. Oh, well, that's Woody Allen. All right. I shouldn't really be quoting from secular scripts, but there you go. On the surface, that passage from Luke does seem to say that there are two kinds of people. I think we need to look at it a little bit more carefully than that. And Jesus has, as I say, I don't know quite what it is with the Pharisees. They get a bad press in the Gospels, don't they? I think they were not bad men. They were not, and they were men, basically, the Pharisees. You see, if the women had been there, it would have been different, wouldn't it? Yeah. They weren't bad, they were just a little bit conceited and a little bit full of themselves, and they were doing the right things. I mean, I suppose if I can add one of my own, there are two kinds of people in the world, those who do the right things for the wrong reasons and those who do the wrong things for the right reasons. I mean, that's very obvious in politics nowadays, but there you go. But the point was, he had done these things which he was called upon to do by his religion, by his being a Pharisee, particularly strict keepers of the Jewish faith. He'd fasted twice a week, he'd given a tenth of his income, and he'd behaved himself, not like these other people. The point was, he was proud of that, and pride is the deadliest of deadly sins. They talk a lot about pride in different ways nowadays, and I'm not saying anything about that. The sin of pride in what you are or do is deadly. We should not have pride in what we do. We should be grateful for God allows us to do those things. He was standing in the temple and he was talking to God, but he wasn't worshiping God. He was telling him. He was saying to God, look at me. You know, I do all these things, right? I'm great, aren't I? Fantastic. Not like this bloke. What did God think of that, do you think? And what about the tax collector? Let's be quite clear, these images which Jesus presents us, and he's telling a story, he's telling to the kind of people who behave like the first guy we're talking about, he's giving a picture, a word picture, an image, he's telling a story. The rabbinic way of telling stories was to exaggerate. You exaggerate to make your point. So these are exaggerated pictures of the kind of person who did that sort of thing that the Pharisee was doing. And then, of course, it's an exaggerated picture of what the tax collector is doing. The tax collectors were the lowest of the low. You know that, don't you? Lots of times in the scriptures, we are given the picture of the tax collector, the sinner. The two words were interchangeable. Not just because they collected taxes, of course. You know this as well. They weren't like our modern tax collectors who... We won't go there. They worked for the Romans. They worked for the invader, the occupier, the enemy, the alien, the one who didn't worship God, who had lots of weird gods. And they worked for them, and they made money out of it. And they didn't just gather the taxes, they skimmed it off as well. Oh, right, okay. Now we can see what Jesus is getting at. He was a sinner. But he knew it. I'm intrigued to know, and I have no idea why, this man who was so aware of his own sinful behavior didn't change that behavior. I'm a sinner. Do you know, actually, there are people like that, aren't there, you know? Somebody once said to me, I confess all the time because I'm very conscious of my own sinfulness, my own failings, weakness, okay? But I confess the same thing every time. Surely either you're going to change it or you're going to do something about it or you're going to say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me my sins. Somebody once said to me, you can't keep on saying sorry for the same thing. You've said sorry. You've laid it at the altar. Leave it there. But the most difficult thing isn't confessing to God that you're a sinner. I am a sinner. It's actually thinking about the offense you have caused another person, which is a sin, and going to them and saying, sorry, that's the more difficult thing. You're not going to walk up to somebody and say, I am a sinner. No, fair enough. But you can say, listen, you know, the other day I said, I'm sorry. And then it's up to them to forgive or not. If you're talking to another Christian, no problem, you get forgiven. And you get forgiven all the way up to the top. Other people might not work in that way, so it takes a deal of courage to actually do that. But it's important that it's done. Confession is good for the soul, quote. Of course it is. And talking to God is important. But not talking at him. Not saying, oh, look at me. I go to church. I put money on the plate. I give something every week. I join in all the activities. You're doing the right things. But let it be for the right reason. That is the gift that you give to God, not the kudos that you get from doing it. I'm sorry if that's a little bit offensive. It's not meant to be, and it's not aimed at anybody, because I don't know any of you, apart from my wife, and she knows my sins. There you go. But I think that's the way it should be. I haven't mentioned St. Paul and his final letter to Timothy. He knew his time was up. I have fought the good fight, as we sang. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul isn't bragging that he's done these things. He's reflecting on them and sharing them with his beloved son, Timothy. Timothy wasn't his son, but he was like a son to him, as you know. And then he says, the most important thing, I think, is the last bit. And this leads into my final words about the gospel reading. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. And Jesus, in the final lines of that quotation by St. Luke, says, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified, the confessor, and then, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. It's not going to be a hierarchy in heaven where the Pharisees and their equivalent are up there talking to God and saying, no, wasn't I good? Wasn't I good? And the sinner's going to be down there saying, oh God. No, we're going to be the same. Exalted or humbled. God knows us and treats us the same. When you talk about equality, that's real equality. That's how it's going to be. But while we are part of the kingdom of earth, before we get to the kingdom in heaven, we've got to work hard to make sure that we humble those things in our lives that are not good and that we exalt the things that are. I believe it is as simple as that. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.